Welcome to Our Sleeve Life podcast, hosted by Kelly and Mel, two lifelong friends who took control of their lives by having gastric sleeve surgery 5 years apart. This podcast is really for you, our listeners, whether you're pre-op, post-op, maintaining, being a support person, or maybe none of these. But this is your podcast. Now it's time for the show.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. We are going to interview Matt.
Yeah,
Mr. Which is Matt. Melanie's older brother. And he had the lap band surgery.
Yes.
How long ago?
So it'd be 6 years in December.
6 years ago.
Yeah.
All right. So. And you no longer have it.
No, I got it removed 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to get a lot of information about getting in, getting out. That's going to be great. Mm-hmm.
That's what she said.
Oh, man.
That's my one. It's one. I'm allowed one
per episode.
I respect it.
I respect it.
Okay. So good. Well, because we have a trash episode, which we might release to people.
Yes.
But she said that, I think, 50 times.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
And Melanie's like, if you say it,
there was no banter.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, it was not a good episode.
It was good.
But that's fine. There were good parts in it. It was just the majority of it was not good.
No.
Yeah, whatever works.
Yeah,
it's all true. Good. But thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so, thanks for coming.
Yeah. I know that we had to schedule this a few different times, but COVID, you know.
Yeah, hashtag COVID. It's out there.
COVID sucks.
Stay safe.
Hashtag COVID sucks.
Yeah. No doubt.
Pretty much.
But I got it. Surgery, 2014? So December, lap band.
Perfect. So what, can you describe what the lap band is for those that don't know?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. So it's laparoscopic surgery. So they don't you're in and out same day.
Okay.
And all they do is make 3 incisions into your stomach.
Nice.
And they put a tube in there. Mm-hmm. And a ring kind of around your, I don't know what it's called, around the tube that leads into your stomach.
Okay.
And they put liquid, and then they run like a port, right below your belly skin.
Okay.
So you can feel the port through your stomach.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a bionic man, like Terminator. It's pretty cool.
One step at a time.
Yeah. And so they run that tube, and then what they do is they put saline into that port, which runs down to the ring, and then that inflates, and so it makes your stomach smaller by squeezing it.
It tightens and everything.
It tightens it, so you can't eat as much doing that way. So
okay.
But they don't take any of your stomach out.
No,
all of you, everything's still the same. It's just that silicone ring.
All my parts are still there.
All of your parts. Well, that's good. Let's hope all your parts are there.
Yeah, they're all there.
That'd be a little weird.
Yeah.
Woke up from surgery, you're like,
missing a kidney. No. they're all there. But they didn't cut my stomach at all. So they just put that around there and then tighten it.
Okay.
And then you go in every month and they tighten it more and more until it's very restrictive.
Okay.
So, but it's a slow kind of process.
Okay.
So, but I chose that one because I didn't want my stomach cut. I was like, in my mind, it was a temporary thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't going in thinking permanent.
Okay. So, okay. We were going to ask that, actually.
Yeah. That was one of our curious questions that we were like, I wonder why he chose lap band over.
So you wanted a temporary option. You did not want anything permanent.
No, I didn't want it permanent. I have commitment issues. Except for my wife, I can commit to everything. Yeah. Nothing else except for her. So,
okay.
I didn't want it permanent. I wanted it temporary.
What's funny is I told when we were having this conversation, I was me and Matt are like commitment phobia, but when we know something's permanent, it's a whole different story. And I don't know if that,
I don't know.
Yeah. Because I got a bunch of anxiety this week because I put this all under an actual S corp.
Oh,
so we're
fancy.
An actual business.
We're an actual
Look
business.
At you.
With
and her anxiety went through the roof.
It was nuts.
So funny.
But I noticed that anything is a contract with money, I get real, I get like that.
Well, I was like, Mel, we can dissolve this at any point.
She's
I know, but I don't want to. And I'm like, but you seem kind of freaked out a little bit.
I was like, we're married now, basically. This
is
a marriage. Like, we're family. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, I just changed my mind a lot. I'm all in on something. I go hard in the paint. I want to know everything. I want to do it all.
Yeah.
So I was like, is this one of those things or is it something I will keep with for a while? So
has your view kind of changed since you took it out?
On what? On having surgery
on
itself?
On having something more permanent. So having the sleeve surgery or the gastric bypass.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I guess I learned a lot through the process.
Mm-hmm.
On my heaviest, when I got surgery, I was 450 pounds.
Wow.
Okay.
And then my lowest, I got down to 290.
Wow.
So, but the surgery really, the first year, it took me from 450 to 337.
Okay.
And then I was like, wasn't losing weight anymore. Mm. And the doctor told me, she's like, hey, you're only going to lose about 100 pounds. Okay. That's what she wanted me to get the sleeve or mm-hmm. gastric because I would go down to like 210.
Yeah. Which is a much
healthier weight. Yeah.
And that's where you wanted to be at too.
Yeah. Eventually I wanted to get there. So like 337, I wasn't losing any more weight. And then I was like, okay, I better do something different because in my brain, mm-hmm. I'm like, repeating the same thing over and over and getting, mm-hmm. You're not going to get a different result.
You're getting frustrated because it's nothing's changing.
Exactly. Yeah. So I hired a personal trainer who and wrote my meals and wrote my workouts. And I did that for probably 5 months. Mm,
okay.
But it was like 6 meals a day with lap band, meal prep every Sunday. So all my meals were prepped for the week.
Which is nice.
Yeah, it was good. So I went from 337 to 290. Mm-hmm. And I did that from March to August. So it was like, the meal prep got to me. I couldn't do it after 5 months. 5 months of doing 6 meals a day,
mm-hmm.
and meal prepping every Sunday, it was just too much.
It's intense.
So
it's,
I was
a lot of work.
Yeah. And my personal trainer, had a midlife crisis and took all his clients' money and moved to the East Coast and disconnected his email, disconnected his number. So,
That's a positive thought.
Yeah. So that was not, and the best thing was he sent an email out the day before, hey, dues, your dues are due. So we all paid and then we didn't hear from him again. So
what a dick.
Yeah. Not a nice person.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And when you're in weight loss area, you get connected to the people that are helping you, mm-hmm. to have somebody betray you like that.
Yeah.
That shocks me.
Well, I was living in Lacey, Washington, and he was down here in Portland.
Oh.
And so we would correspond video and email. Mm-hmm. And then when we would take a trip to see my wife's parents, I would go work out with him, and he had an exclusive gym that was kind of built into a storage area.
Oh.
And he had have a special code to get in out in West. I think it was out somewhere in Portland. So it was a pretty cool gym. But yeah, he bounced and took all the money. So,
wow. That's insane.
What can you do?
Wow. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to have to back up. So let's get to the timeline.
Yes. Sorry.
Melanie likes her timeline. So we're going to reverse a little bit.
No worries.
So 6 years ago.
Yes.
So what was
the moment?
I need to do this.
Oh, the moment. Yeah. I didn't tell you the moment. The moment is, it's pretty heartbreaking. No, I'm just kidding. No, I remember it quite well. We were, it was the one weekend and the kids were like, hey, we want to go on a bike ride.
Mm.
But we're like, oh, we don't have all bikes. We have, we have five kids and two adults. And mm-hmm. I think we had four kids then probably, mm-hmm. or three. I don't know. I have a lot of kids. but we're like, Kelly and I, my wife didn't have bikes. So we're like, hey, we need to go buy bikes. So we go mm-hmm. buy us bikes, got them all put together. And okay, let's go. So we're riding bikes. Everything's going good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's kind of hard. I don't remember bike riding being this hard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But halfway through the bike ride, my tires are flat. And I'm like, oh, this feels good. I'm the fat guy who flatted his tires. So in your brain, you're like, this is embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets worse. Then I'm like, okay, well, I got to push the bike back. So then my daughter comes up and is like, Dad, what's wrong with your bike? Why are the tires flat?
Oh.
And so instead of telling her the truth that, hey, mm-hmm. your dad's a fat ass and broke his wheels, I was like, oh, there's something wrong with the bike, honey. I got to push it back.
Mm.
So that was the moment of okay, I can't even ride a bike with my kids.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just in my brain was okay, I'd rather eat food than ride a bike with my child.
Mm.
Is kind of how I thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the moment where I was like, okay, I got to do this.
Well, not only that, but you had to tell her a story.
Yeah, to lie to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That probably didn't feel good.
No, it's not good to lie to your kids. So, and then my wife and I, we were talking about the surgery for a while. We're like, mm-hmm. oh, well, wait till you're 30. You can get it. You'll lose weight by then.
Mm-hmm.
And then 30 came and went. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to be 31, probably should do this now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. So then that was in the summer. And then I applied with Oregon Weight Loss Surgery in August.
Mm-hmm. Which is the same surgery center as
Melanie. We went to the same one.
Yeah. So what made you pick them?
Just Google. Typed in weight loss surgery and they were the first one on the Google search. That's all it was.
Awesome.
Okay. And so then I went and applied and they're like, okay, well, it can take up to 3 months to get back to you. So I didn't really think about it for a while because I'm like, I applied. I mean, I was starting to try to eat healthy and not eat as much as I was before.
Mm-hmm. You were taking steps.
Yeah. And then I got a call and they're like, you have an appointment. Come on in and see the doctor. So awesome. I'm like, okay, cool. So went and did that, had the consultation, and she, you know, ran me through all of it. And she's like, which one do you want to do? And I was like, well, I want to talk about it with my wife and we'll figure it out. And then I was like, I don't want to be cut open. I don't want to lose my stomach. Because I want to get to where I want to go and then take it out. So she didn't agree. She's like, no, I want you to do sleeve or gastric. And I'm like, but she's like, I'll do whatever you want to do. You're the patient. She's like, but you're only going to lose about 100. And I'm like, okay. And then in my mind, I'm like, I'll prove her wrong. I'm like,
I know that mentality. I think everybody thinks that. Like, oh, it's, that's not.
I got this. Don't you tell me I can't do something.
I mean, you're a PhD. You don't know anything. I've never gone to medical school. So, I got this.
I read WebMD. I got this.
I know how this works. Because I've done so far. It's so good so far, you know. But yeah, so I ended up choosing that. And the tests were kind of crazy that they put me through. Because it was, I remember I had to be like in this like, kind of like capsule and like they like, and I had to breathe through this tube because they were measuring how much fat was on my body. And so I had 59% of my body was fat.
Holy crap.
So that was kind of wake up call too. And it's like, the majority of your body is fat. I'm like, oh, that feels good. So did that. And then they had to go through, kind of like a therapist to make sure that I wouldn't like leave my wife and kids. And, and, cause that's, I guess the divorce rate's really high.
It is very, very high. When,
I can see it, right? You lose weight. You got this whole self-esteem. You're like, I feel great. Everybody's looking at me like, oh, I can do better. You know, that kind of mentality. So that, and then make sure I wouldn't kill myself. So that was like the two main. So I had one or two sessions over the phone.
Okay. How long were they?
Like an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
So longer.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then that was it. And then they sent it off to my insurance. And then my insurance was like, you're approved. Awesome. So I didn't have to lose any weight before. There was nothing like that. So went and did that. And then, yeah, had the, I had my consult probably in October. And then I had the surgery to stay on timeline. December 1st, 2014.
It was quick. She's quick, man. She's very quick. Dr. Patterson is like not messing around.
But she also, she knows what she's doing. Yes. So I feel like if you weren't ready, she wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
Because when we talk to her, she's funny. She's like, if I could get you in and out within a month, I would. But that just, I can't.
But a lot of surgery, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You have to go through certain steps. Like I went through 6 months. Which, they changed my insurance in the middle of mine. So it ended up being like, I only had to do 3 months, but I ended up doing the full 6 months, which I was fine with because I loved my nutritionist, my therapist, all of that. Did you like your therapist that you talked to?
I didn't really care. Okay. I mean, it was just more check the box. Okay. Like, let me get off the phone. I know I'm not going to leave my wife and I know I'm not going to off myself. Okay. So let's just get through this. Okay. So,
that's what it felt like for me too. Like it didn't, we didn't actually have a connection to a therapist. It was really just to make sure we were not going to do anything wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you were going in and you could talk about anything.
No, it was strictly on the weight loss. How do I feel about it?
Okay.
What are my goals? Like, do I have any trauma in my childhood? Like, you know, all that stuff. It wasn't nothing like, go in, and it was all over the phone too. It was kind of impersonal. So
Do
you feel like if it was like a Zoom, it would have been a little bit more?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the visual helps because you're on the phone. I could be doing anything else when I'm on the phone. You know what I mean?
Super distracted.
I'm just answering questions, not paying attention. So
Because mine came down to one, and it was only 30 minutes. So the fact that you had two for an hour each.
Yeah,
yeah, like that's.
But yeah, I got the surgery. Kelly took me in, my beautiful wife, and went in, and it was, I mean, it was a little overwhelming. We took pictures, you know, which is kind of funny. I looked like I was 450 pounds. They weighed me in that morning.
Okay.
And yeah, I look like I have like a bunch of food in my cheeks. It's kind of funny. So, yeah, my whole face changed losing weight. It was interesting.
Oh, yeah, I did. It like makes your face longer.
Yeah.
I feel like almost.
Yeah.
It's like the sides kind of deflate.
Right. They
come back in.
Yeah. All of those marshmallows that you kept tucked in your cheeks, they're gone.
They're gone. Yeah.
What was your pre-op food like?
Did you have to do anything special? I think I had to do 2 weeks of liquids.
2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, 2 weeks after. I had no pre-op food stuff.
Okay. So you didn't have to do any liquid diets prior.
No.
Yeah, remember, she doesn't like to.
Well, she did 24 hours for Melanie. Yeah. So I wasn't sure if she did the same.
Yeah. They did the same for me, but it was like normal. Like you don't eat before surgery, the midnight before kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't.
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I did 2 weeks of liquids. I remember hearing before. That. Yeah. And it was very hard.
Yeah.
Very hard.
Post-op, I do 2 weeks of liquid.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's, I remember that I broke down the third or fourth day.
Okay.
Just started bawling because I'm like, it almost like, I guess you call it shame. Like it was like, why couldn't I do this myself? Why did I have to have a something to help me? Why am I not strong enough? You know, why can other people do this but not me? Because you don't want to feel weak. You know,
no, totally. You don't want to feel weak, and you don't want to feel like you failed.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So I did that once, like 3 days in. But then, yeah, the liquid diet, it sucked because at the end of the liquid diet, I almost forgot how to chew. Like it was weird to like chew.
Melanie
afterward.
Said the same thing.
Yeah.
It's
weird.
A weird feeling.
It's a weird feeling, yeah, for sure. But I dropped like 30 pounds in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like it was crazy.
It's crazy to get on the scale. Like, cause I weighed myself once a day
during
my pre-op and it would go down like a pound and a half a day.
Yeah.
And so after surgery, when I went to go weigh myself and I had gone up like 4 pounds because of all of the air that they put in your chest
my gosh,
and everything, the gas pains.
Yeah.
It was crazy because I was like, what the hell? Why have I gained weight? Like, I just had surgery. Then I'm like, okay, calm down. You're fine. It'll come off. But yeah, it was kind of cool to see like the poundage just start crazily going down.
Crazy dropping.
It was crazy. I was just getting used to liquids for 2 weeks because then I had to do 2 weeks of like blended food. Mm-hmm. After that,
okay, pureed
food.
Yeah.
And then I think I was back to solids at the 5 week mark.
Wow,
like soft foods.
Soft foods, yes. Sorry,
food.
and then after 6 weeks, I was back to regular food.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what did you start eating like right when you could get to real food?
It was just really protein. So. Okay. Small amounts of protein and lots of water. Like that's really all I had.
Okay.
It was weird because with the lap band, it's different. You can get stuff stuck and choke. So it's different because that tube is like in your chest.
Yeah.
Like, and it's tightened. And so it'll sit in your chest like you're having a heart attack until it passes through the tube.
Oh.
And so I was so scared of that happening. So I would eat very like, chew it up. Like I had to practice chewing because you had to chew. I think it was, they wanted like 20 times per bite.
25 times.
Yeah.
I think
something like that.
Normal,
yeah. And then they wouldn't let me drink any liquid with a straw because of the air was what they were worried about.
Yeah.
So that I had to get used to that. But yeah, I was very like chicken, steak.
Okay.
You know, just any kind of meat that I could swallow and chew up.
Did you find one food better than the other?
Yeah. Like I couldn't do any meat that was shredded.
Okay.
I could not eat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I found that out the hard way.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, it got stuck once.
Interesting, because you think the shredded would be easier because it's already like partially...
No.
Broken down?
It was so dry. So they always talk about like slider foods and stuff. Mm. And so, but for me, I needed something to make the meat go down because if it was dry meat, it would get stuck. So like, you know, I would do like sugar-free ketchup, mustard, something to dip it in to get it to go down.
Got it.
But like the shredded stuff, I couldn't get to go down. Like
even
it was
if you did like sugar-free barbecue sauce or something like that.
No, I still couldn't get it to go down.
Oh, wow.
It was
That's interesting.
I had it happen twice. One, we were at like a church function. And Kelly looks at me, she's like, are you okay? I'm like, no, it's stuck.
Oh,
this is horrible. So I had to, then you start hacking in front of everybody because you're trying to cough this up.
Yeah.
Like it's either going to come out or go down. And so there's no, like, and so I couldn't take the pain anymore. So I ran to the bathroom and just puked it up.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I've done it before.
Yeah.
You just either eat too much or it's stuck or, I mean.
It's horrible. It's the worst pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened again at a work trip where I was in California. And we're at a banquet hall and I like, okay, I had shredded pork, but they had, it had a lot of sugar-free barbecue sauce on it. I'm like, this should be easy.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take the risk. And no, it got stuck again. And so like my buddy of mine, Darren, was like, dude, you don't look okay. I go, I'll be right back.
Uh-huh. And then, I know what to do with
this. Yeah, and then got rid of it that way. But yeah, that's the worst, it's like the worst pain, just being stuck. Mm. So, and they try to do, because they tighten your band and they loosen your band.
Okay.
Because if your band's too tight, everything gets stuck. Mm. But then if your band is too loose, you can overeat. So mm-hmm. it's like this give and take. And
happy
they have to,
medium.
Yeah, they got to monitor how much liquid is in your band.
Wow.
And so like we were kind of at that spot where like, it wasn't too tight, it wasn't too loose, but just that shredded food would get me.
Oh,
so.
That's the one.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so weird, like how different some people's bodies can handle it and some people's can't.
Yeah. The interesting thing is when you have lap band, you get your liquid put in your port, right? You go in like every month and they stab a needle into your little port in your stomach.
Okay.
And they tighten it. And then you have to drink water after. You can't leave the doctor's office until you can swallow because they don't want to go too tight.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So okay. You drink the water. And then it was kind of the fun thing, which is like, hey, she would tell you, Dr. Patterson's nurse or whatever would mm-hmm. tell you, you can have any liquid you want for 24 hours. And I'm like, what do you mean any liquid? She's like, yeah, go have a milkshake, go have something cool just for 24 hours. Because you're not going to get, they don't want you to eat. So it was very interesting.
So no solids.
No solids.
No solids whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they would say like milkshake.
Well, I love that nurse because she said milkshake. So.
Yeah, because I'm like, should you be having a milkshake?
Oh, not at all. Really? Not at all. But when the nurse tells you, I'm going to listen to the medical doctor.
Oh, but you won't listen to Dr. Patterson.
No, not at all. Not at all. But the nurse, she knows what she's talking about. So.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. It's in correlation of milkshake.
Yeah, it's an extension of Dr. Patterson. So it makes sense. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, that's hilarious.
But yeah, I thought it was funny.
So when you came out of surgery,
yes,
how'd you feel? Like when you like woke up?
Oh, I felt groggy. I was like, I woke up. First thing I said, I go, "Where's my wife?"
Oh.
And it wasn't like I was like sad. I was like, "Tell her." I go, "Tell her I'm okay."
Oh.
And they're like, "We'll tell her, Mr. Austin." And I'm like, "Okay." And then, yeah, my stomach hurt
from the gas.
Yeah, from the gas pain. Mm. From the gas pain. And honestly. It was one of the reasons I took it out was because of the gas pain. Like, yeah. I had gas pain from day one of surgery till the day I took it out. And then Whoa. The pain was gone after I took it out.
Weird.
So, yeah, not to get too far down the rabbit hole, but like, I'm not a gassy person.
Yeah.
But when I had that, it was insane.
Huh.
Like,
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Did you feel like, I call them gurgles.
The gurgles.
But gurgles in your, like, chest.
Esophagus.
No. Like, it feels like, okay.
You felt bloated.
Okay.
That's constantly bloated. Like, ugh. I could not get it to go away. Like, I bought stock in GasX, pretty much.
Oh, like, that's rough.
Like, 4 years of feeling bloated.
That'd be annoying as hell.
And the doctor was like, it's just a side effect of having lap band.
Of just the lap band.
Just a lap band. Yep.
Wow.
Because so you can probably, your body can actually feel the lap band on your stomach. So you feel like there's something there.
Yeah. It was very, very bloated for 4 years.
Okay.
Because, Kel, does this happen to you where if you eat too much, you feel like there's like a line here sometimes, like it hurts? Mm-hmm. So you probably felt that all day long.
Yeah.
Ugh,
all day long.
Sucks.
No,
all day long.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was not fun. That was kind of the ultimate decision to get it out. Because I'm like, this is causing more discomfort than it is helping at the end of it. So
that makes sense.
But yeah, no, I was pretty groggy. And then I was in and out same day. So I came in at like 8 in the morning, left at like 4.
Not too bad.
And my wife drove me home, and I called my best friend high on Vicodin or whatever pill they gave me. I'm like, I made it. I'm good. I'm skinny now.
Oh
like,
gosh.
I was totally high off the medication.
You're hilarious.
He was laughing.
That's
so.
That's pretty funny. Did you record it?
I wish I did, but no, I did not.
That
would have
been funny.
I did not.
Seriously. So. What was your first drink? Like, what did you have? Was it just water for a while?
Just water, yeah. Just water. I mean, I never really liked carbonated drinks anyway.
Yeah, me neither.
Occasionally, I used to drink. Well, when I was fat, I used to drink, or fatter, I should say. I would drink 6 rock stars a day. Like,
holy hell.
Easy.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it was so bad. Like, I would order. We moved to Texas for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the city we moved to didn't have the flavor of Rockstar that I liked because it was a small town.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went and got smart and was like, I ordered a case from Rockstar themselves of that flavor and just had it sent to my house.
Oh.
And then I knew that people didn't sell it in the city I was in. So I would sell them out of the back of my trunk and make the money back for the case plus the ones I had. But yeah, I have about 6 a day. What I used to drink.
I mean, this is Matt here. He's still wheeling and dealing, and then
I got to pay for what I want.
Yeah.
So so it worked out pretty well. But yeah, so I used to drink that, but now I just drink iced tea and water. That's the only thing. I mean, that's kind of the two.
Unsweetened
black tea. People think I'm crazy. You put lemon in it, and that's it.
Oh, no, it's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's all I drink.
Oh no, we get made fun of for that. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
They're like, nope, it needs to be sweet tea. No. And P.S. Don't ask me when I go if I want tea, don't be like unsweetened. Yeah, all tea is unsweetened.
Oh no, she's gonna go on a rant.
Seriously,
I'm with you.
It's so annoying. You're like,
you can't unsweeten tea.
Yeah,
No, I didn't
ask for raspberry tea, did I?
Right?
Did I ask for peach? No, I didn't. I asked for tea.
Yeah, living in Texas, everything was sweet tea first.
Yep,
and so then I was like the crazy person who said, no, I want it unsweetened. And they're like, are you sure, honey? I'm like, yes, I want it unsweetened. So
me and Cody go to Missouri to visit friends of ours. And everywhere you go, it's sweet tea. Sweet tea, sweet tea. And so I'll order it because we went last October.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was still like... just no carbonation, no nothing. Like it was either tea or it was water.
Yeah, you're like what, 6 months in? 7 months, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And so I would go and order just plain tea, like Chick-fil-A. Bomb. We all know my love of Chick-fil-A, but they have them on like every corner.
Oh, nice.
And so we went to Chick-fil-A, like, I'm not even kidding, every day. And I would order my meal and then I would get my iced tea on the side and they're like sweetened and I'm like, no. And they just look at me like,
hey, weirdo.
What the hell is wrong with you?
You're
and I'm like, I'm from Oregon.
<That's>
Sorry.
<funny.
laughs> We don't do sweet tea.
You're the problem.
You're the problem.
Yeah. Well, sweet tea has a crap ton of sugar.
So bad for you.
Yeah.
It's awful for you. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it until I was looking it up on Chick-fil-A because they have all of the little like calories on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit, that's a lot of sugar.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And is that where you want to waste your sugar? Like allotment?
Exactly.
Nope. It's
going
to be like something good.
Yeah.
I want some cheesecake or an ice cream cone.
Yeah, I'd rather use it on my sauce. Like, because I know those sauces aren't great for you.
Oh, good point.
I would rather use it on my sauce to eat my chicken than I would just drink it.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I don't order like big sugary coffees anymore. Because what's the point?
Yes.
So seriously. I just do my espresso and protein.
I try to get into coffee because I'm like, I eventually need to drink coffee at some point, I feel like. And I just can't do it. Like, I can't do it without, like, doctoring it to the point of you're not supposed to drink it.
Yeah.
Like, I've turned it from tea or coffee to, like, a milkshake at the end of that. Okay. I'm like, this is not going to work. So.
All right. I'm the same way. I like the better taste.
I like the taste of coffee, just not straight coffee. Like if you put, like, I was making coffee... it was just coffee and then heavy cream.
Okay.
And then something else. I forget.
MCT oil.
Yes. MCT oil. Yes.
Yeah. What's MCT oil?
It's almost like coconut oil. It's like a good oil. You can have just like a liquid you put in your drink. It's good for you.
Okay.
It's keto friendly. People like it, but I would do that. So that was fine.
Okay.
But then I got tired of that after a while.
Did you ever try the protein shake in the coffee?
No, I heard you guys talking about it on the podcast. So
it's
I thought about trying
it. So bomb.
That's cool.
So bomb. So you just get. Like, I get a triple shot of espresso over ice, and then I just pour whatever flavor protein shake you want over the top.
Nice.
And you just drink it iced, and it's so good.
Do you powder, or is it liquid protein?
I just get the pre-made bottles so that I can just go to my fridge and grab one out when I'm leaving. So it's just, for me, it's just a ease thing.
Gotcha.
But you can do the powder, and you just mix it up ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then when you go to Starbucks or whatever, you... just pour it over the top.
I'm going to try it.
You should.
Yeah, a lot of our viewers have been like, no, they're amazing. Like, they'll do, like, s'mores protein shake.
So I do the s'mores.
Yeah, she does that.
I'm obsessed with it.
They'll do chocolate.
It's so delicious.
Nice.
But, yeah, you can do chocolate, peanut butter and chocolate. They have a thin mint one if you like mint.
I do like mint.
At GNC. And you can – actually, I was telling Melanie about it today. I went in there, and they have an exchange program. So if you go in and you buy the thin mint and you try it and you're like, nope, it's not what I want. You can bring it back in and exchange it for something else.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
So because I think you get kind of weirded out when you're in there and you're like, I'm spending $35 on a canister of protein.
Yep.
And you don't know if you're going to like it.
Yeah.
So this kind of helps you a little bit.
That's
seriously.
Kind of justify it a little bit.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, surgery in December.
Okay.
Got cleared for working out in February, March, right around there.
Okay.
So slipping right around there. And then just started doing cardio and weightlifting.
And that helped, you think?
Yeah, that helped for sure. I mean, the big thing is like you can have surgery and then but you can overeat and you can not, and it won't do anything. Like that's one thing I learned was like, it's not a fix. Like, no. It's a tool.
Yes.
And so exactly. If you use the tool correctly, which is you're going to have to move your body and you're going to have to do things that you don't normally do.
100%.
But if you sit there and just keep eating, like I could drink milkshakes all day with a lap band mm-hmm. and gain weight with a lap
right.
band.
Right. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like it's not. But so I learned that quick was like, okay, cardio, what do I enjoy? I don't really like cardio. So weightlifting was more my thing, but still getting like 30 minutes of cardio a day.
Which is still good for you. Well, and yeah. You want to add the cardio in.
Yeah.
Well, our doctor says straight up, she wants the strength training.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wants that more than anything because you lose muscle mass.
Yeah.
When mm-hmm. you're doing the surgery. So yeah. They're like, just keep as much muscle as you can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to burn more too.
Yeah.
Well, when you lose muscle mass, your back can hurt, your knees can hurt, your ankles, because you're losing all of that muscle that you had already built up in those areas.
And so. I remember you told me that your advice was you're going to learn to be uncomfortable. Yep. Being comfortable about being uncomfortable.
That's just going to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Because you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to do things you're uncomfortable with that before.
Your entire journey.
Your entire,
just going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Things will feel that. Awkward. Yeah.
I really like that.
But it helped me in a lot of ways. Like, you don't realize in the moment, but like, okay, 450 pounds. In your brain of somebody, like my brain, I didn't feel like I was 450 mm-hmm. pounds. I didn't notice it as that much because I'm always a very confident person. I didn't feel like there's anything I couldn't do that I wanted to do. I didn't think there was any girl I couldn't get that I didn't want to get. Like I didn't have like the normal, if you're a big guy, you're like, oh, I'm big. I don't want to talk to people. Like, mm-hmm. no, I was like, oh, this, like, I'll do whatever I want. So mm-hmm. it was interesting because then that bike ride was like, oh, I can't ride a bike.
That was a slap in the face.
Yeah, because in my brain, I don't think I'm 450. In my brain, I think I'm just a normal size.
Yeah, because I think if you were thinking that you were, like, I'm 450 pounds, you wouldn't have probably bought the bike.
No.
But you were like, oh, yeah, it's totally fine. Yeah,
we'll go ride a bike. Yeah. Everybody rides a bike.
Yeah.
Like, no, I wasn't thinking. So.
Well, I remember you were telling me when you guys go to Disneyland and Disney World and stuff, like, you, there are certain rides that was getting to you.
Yeah. Well, I have big shoulders and I still have big shoulders. So like the harness to go over the top is helped by losing weight, but there were some rides where I'm like, I can't get on the ride. And so that was painful. But then I was like, the way I do things, I'm like, well, I can manipulate this. So because at Disney or those places, if you can't get on a ride, they'll put you on another ride in front of the line. So I would be like, oh, I can't get on. I'm too big. Well, which ride do you want to go on, sir? I want to go on this one. So then we go on the front of the line because you're too big to ride that ride.
Wow. So, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, it was when we went. I don't know if it still is, but yeah.
Not right now.
Yeah. But I would use it. So I would just flip it to make it a positive. So then mm-hmm. I wasn't all depressed all day because I couldn't get on a ride.
Right.
So that's how you justified it in your brain.
Yeah. Like I made myself feel better of like, well, I'm going to use this as a tool to skip a line for my family.
Yeah.
You know, instead of like sulking all day and just letting it get to me.
Like, I'm actually helping my family by getting to the front of the line. It's fine.
Well, yeah. I don't have, me and my wife don't have to wait in line with three mm-hmm. kids and I can go right to the front.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
That sounds awesome.
So yeah, you know what I mean? So you spin it to make it a more positive thing. Mm-hmm, but yeah, there was things you just don't think you can do. Or I thought I could do that I couldn't do, but the more the weight came off, mm-hmm. I was noticing, like, I'm even being a better husband. Like, I was a horrible husband at 450 mm-hmm. because you can't do enough for your spouse, even though you think you are, because as I got smaller, I was doing more and more things for Kelly that I wasn't doing at 450. But in the moment, you don't think that, but then you start noticing, you know, hey, I can do the yard for her, or I can help her with stuff, or I can help with the kids, or because we had stairs. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I would never really go upstairs with the kids because I was winded by the time I got upstairs. Yeah. But as the weight got down, it didn't matter.
You just
run upstairs. Yeah. Like, it's not a big deal. But you just realize that you're like, oh, I kind of was a shitty husband for a little bit. That kind of sucks.
I feel like I feel the same way sometimes where I'm like, I was bedridden. Cody did everything. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, yeah, that really sucked. Mm-hmm. Like, that really sucked for him because he literally had to make dinner. He had to clean. He had to take care of me. He had to bring me stuff. And now it's funny because he's in his brain, I'm still sick. Yeah. And I'm still in pain. And so I'll start to do something. And he's like, oh, no, I've got it. And I'm like, no, seriously, I can do it.
Yeah.
Like, just let me do my own laundry or something.
Right.
It's something really small that he's just like, oh, no, I'll take care of it.
Yeah. So, I just learned a lot from that piece was like, mm-hmm. do more things. So, but as over the year, just kind of worked out steadily and, you know, came up on the first year anniversary. And I did my first 5K that first exciting. Year, which was hilarious because they're like, yeah, Matt, do a 5K with us. And I'm like, cool. Is it easy to do like a 5K? Because I've never done a 5K. Yeah. Like, why would you do a 5K at 450 pounds? Like, your knees are going to explode. Mm, so I was like, I'll do it. So I'm like, oh, I probably should train. Mm-hmm. So I did like the Couch to 5K app.
How was that?
You know, it was fun. It was good. Yeah, the app is great. Like, okay. Whoever makes that app, kudos to them. It's awesome.
Oh.
But I did it on the treadmill. And then I was like, we probably have to do it outside because you're going to be outside anyway. So Patton Parkway in Vancouver is a very long road. So I'd park there and do there, run back and forth, run, walk. Cause that's how the app does. It'll like run for 2 minutes, walk for 2 minutes. Like it'll get you to 5K in a certain amount of time.
That's kind of really cool.
Yeah. Does it talk to you?
Like,
why you're doing it?
Yep.
So you just have your earbuds in like you would music.
Yep. It tells you now slow down to walk.
Oh.
And then it says now pick up speed to run.
Oh, I'm so doing this.
You need to do it.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Because I've been running, but like I don't have, if someone told me, okay, this is when you stop, this is when you go, it'll be so much easier.
Couch to 5K.
Because now I'm just trying to figure out how much longer I can go.
Yeah. So it comes race day for 5K.
Okay.
I'm all excited.
Yeah.
Going back. My outfit was horrible looking back, by the way. I had these like long blue socks on. Like it was crazy.
It was so funny.
But I was beating a bunch of friends from work and we get there like, oh, well, so you just run around the track because it was at a track. And she's like, no, you have to run through like the woods and like elevation is insane and then come back down. And I'm like, you told me this was an easy 5K. I didn't know I was running up mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, oh, my bad. I'm like, sorry. So let's get lined up.
Oh, so, that's not your traditional
5K. No, it's not traditional 5K at all.
No.
So like Kelly and the kids are there and they're laughing. And cause I'm like, dad's got to go up the mountain. So we took off and I'm going up the mountain dying and coming down, breathing and just so all of it. The funny thing was they had like signage up to where you go. I missed the sign and got ahead of everybody else. And everybody's like, man, how'd you get ahead of everybody else? I'm like, I'm really fast.
I trained for this.
I've been working out for a while. Not knowing I missed the sign. And then on the way back again, my second lap, I'm like, oh, I didn't even go left here. My bad. Well, so then I went left and did the
actual course. One. Yeah. Oh, that
is
funny.
But yeah, it was intense.
But you did it.
I did it. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I finished.
Yeah, I finished a 5K. I think it was in like 45 minutes.
That's 50 good. Minutes.
I think it was something like that.
Because how long is a 5K?
3.2 miles.
Yeah, 3.2 miles.
So about an hour. Yeah, it's about an hour. Okay. I finished it in an hour.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. I was excited because I'm like, oh, I just did a 5K.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty cool.
You're like, I can officially say that I've done I ran a 5K.
But I remember it very clearly because the next day I weighed in and I was down 100 pounds flat. So that was cool. Like, did a 5K, down 100 pounds.
Those are really cool non-scale victories.
Yeah. That's awesome. I was down to 350 and I was probably like 9 months in, 10 months in.
And you were feeling amazing at that point.
Yeah, I felt great. Yeah, I felt great. And I mean, as you guys know, the more weight you lose, the more compliments you get, the more confident you get.
Yeah.
And then I already have high confidence, so it just made it worse.
Yep.
But yeah, it was
your
great.
Energy level, like, did the fog go away? Did you have fog before? Because I know I did. Like,
no, I did. You don't think you do in the moment, but I definitely had more energy and I had a hard time sleeping. I don't know if you guys had that, but I had like, I just couldn't fall asleep.
After surgery? Because your brain was just going?
Just constantly thinking. Okay. Like, I constantly just couldn't. I noticed that if I eat higher protein and very low carbohydrates, I have a hard time sleeping. Like, I'll fall asleep, but I'll fall asleep at 2, wake up at 7. I won't be tired when I wake up, though. But it's just, I don't need as much sleep for me when I eat that way.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
See if there's a reason.
We're going to have your nutritionist on. We should ask her.
Yes. Write a note.
I think there's less. I was kind of reading up on it a little bit. It's the sugar that's to do with the carbs, and it releases something into your body, like a hormone when you have them. So
to make you more tired.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they're like, I was told, if you're going to have carbs and you have trouble sleeping, have them later at night to help you sleep. But I was like, nah, I'm good.
Okay.
So, but it was, it was interesting doing that. But yeah, so that's the first year. And then just kind of it got down to 337.
Okay.
And just kind of sat there
for how long?
Oh, probably 3 years.
Wow.
Well, two more years after that. So yeah, my third year, I was still 337.
Really?
Like, I didn't gain, I didn't lose. 337.
So you maintained.
Yeah, maintained
at that point.
Just chilled out at 337
for a couple of years.
Yeah. And then finally I was like, we had my son, who's four now. So it was about 4 years ago.
He's so cute.
In 2016. So it was about, it was about the 2.5 year mark, three year mark into the surgery. I was like, okay, I need to lose more weight. Like this is getting, and that's when I hired the personal trainer.
The dick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And, he who must not be named. but yeah, so I hired him through a friend because she was getting great results. And she was training for NPC bikini competition.
Wow.
But she was a thick girl. Like, she was a big girl.
Okay.
And she's like, no, this is my goal. I want to lose a bunch of weight, and I want to do the competition.
That's awesome.
So, and she killed it. She ended up doing the competition. She won, like, she got, like, third place, I believe. So she's...
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, she did great. She did great.
Wow.
So she hooked me up with him, and I don't blame her for being... She got robbed just like I did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so then he was like, okay, we're going to put you kind of like a bodybuilder diet.
Okay.
Which was 6 meals a day. High protein, low carb, higher carb than I was used to.
Okay.
Yeah. It was because I would go probably 25 grams of carbs a day for me.
That's what Kelly does.
But he had me a lot higher than that. He'd be about 75 to 100.
Okay. Okay.
Just for the energy for the workouts.
Mm-hmm.
And then working out 5 days a week, cardio 7 days a week.
That's a commitment.
Yeah. I did it for 5 months. Went from 337 to 290.
So that's 47 pounds in 5 months.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Pretty damn good.
That's intense.
Yeah, I felt great. I looked crazy.
You did.
I mean, I looked good. I looked damn good, but I was, it was weird. Like, I just, because all of a sudden I had a jawline and like, it was, and then like, we walked into like Ross Dress for Less, and you guys know when you can buy something you've never been able to buy before, like,
We're
like, how do I buy an XL and it fits? Like, that's kind of crazy. And it was like a $7 t-shirt. Cause you're, when you're bigger,
you have to spend more.
You spend more.
Yep.
It's nuts. It's a racket.
Yeah, it is.
And I get more fabric, but come on, it ain't that much
it
more fabric.
It isn't that much more. Yeah.
Yeah. I was shopping at the Fat Guy store, DXL, paying $55, $60 a shirt.
Oh, geez.
And now you're paying $7.
And now I'm paying $7 at $290.
And then you just randomly find a shirt and you're like, oh, I really like this. I'm going to buy this.
Yeah.
Because when we went and saw Chris D'Elia.
Yeah.
You were in
he's popular
shirt.
Now.
I know. I'm sorry.
That sucks. I don't know who that is.
He's a comedian.
He's a Philly comedian, but he did some bad
doings. He likes
doings.
Underage girls. It's all good. Yeah. So.
Okay. We just all found out.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, anyways, but yeah, I was tiny.
Yeah, because there's a picture of you and Eric.
Yeah.
And like, Eric's in the Tupac shirt and you're in the Biggie shirt.
No, opposite.
Or vice versa.
I'm in the Tupac. Funny. He's in the Biggie.
Yeah. So, and that, you look great.
I know.
Yeah. Because so that when you were 290?
That's 290. Exactly 290. That's the lowest I've ever gotten. It's 290.
So, what's your weight now?
My weight now, as of this morning, is 340.
Okay. 340.
So, yeah. Okay. So fast forward, got to 290. I got a vasectomy in August.
Okay.
Right when I was 290.
Got it.
And then we moved because from Lacey. That was the Lacey move.
Yep. Back to Vancouver,
Washington, because the owner of the house we lived in was getting a divorce. And so they're like, do you want to buy the house? And we're like, we love your house, but it's next to a train station. Like the railroad tracks, Amtrak would go by every night. It would shake our room. Like that's how bad. Yeah. Yeah. So,
you're like, no.
And we only want our room to shake for good reasons, not because of a railroad.
Yeah,
so.
Seriously.
For sexy time, not a train.
Yes. And
unless
so,
it's the Kelly train.
Well, you know, all aboard the Kelly train.
That's right. Well, only Matt aboard.
Yes, this
the Kelly
is true.
Train.
This is true. But yeah, so we were like, now, well, so we moved back. So all of that, I just stopped working out because, you know, dealt with life.
Yeah. You had life and you just kind of put it
back burner. And so
it wasn't a priority anymore.
No, it wasn't a priority anymore. It was like, oh, I'm 290. I should maintain.
I'm good.
Yeah. I got this under control.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you fast forward, that's August. So you fast forward like November, December. And I'm like, that $7 shirt, it doesn't fit anymore. That's a sign. So then I go weigh in and I'm like, oh, I'm 310.
You're like, okay.
How'd that happen? Well, I mean, I know how it happened.
Yeah.
Got it. So then I kind of hovered around there for a little bit more. And then just, you know, life happens. And then I was like, I was in constant pain from the lap band. And so I wouldn't say pain. It was just really uncomfortable, like feeling bloated all the time.
And you're just kind of over it.
I was kind of done with it. And so I went back in, saw Dr. Patterson. It wasn't her assistant, but it was another doctor at her office.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, we should probably get it out and then get you scheduled for sleeve or gastric. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa. One step at a time. Let's just get this thing out first. Okay. And so they're like, okay, cool. Your insurance will probably approve it because they approved it last time. And there's a medical reason. It's not because you're bored. Like, mm-hmm. you actually have a problem. And right. it wasn't like I had a problem. Like, they couldn't find anything wrong. Mm. They said maybe some of the scar tissue around the area was causing it, but in the band itself, I just dealt with it. Like, it wasn't anything anybody did wrong.
But you had it the entire time.
Yeah, from day one to day then. It wasn't. So they took it out in December 1st of 2018.
Oh, wow. So it was the same day.
Same day. Yeah. Wow. How crazy is that? Four years to the day they took it out. But it's funny because you look at a photo from when I got it in the same hospital. And then when I had got it removed, I looked completely different. Oh, it's hilarious.
Day, I bet.
Yeah.
You'll have to send us that.
So yeah, well, it's really funny. Yeah, it's really funny.
So I have a question before you go forward.
Yeah.
So you said that they asked you that. You're like, nope, I'm just going to take it out. You're going to go home and talk to your wife.
Yeah.
How was that conversation then?
I mean, it was easy because she didn't want me to have the surgery anymore either. So okay. I wasn't like, I thought about it, but then I was like, okay, I don't like the idea of my stomach being cut in half.
Okay.
Or shaped like a banana. Like,
is it just the shape of the banana that offends you? Or?
I mean, I'm used to phallic shapes because I'm a guy.
You should be able to be fine with that.
But no, I think it's more of just like, that's pretty permanent.
It is permanent.
Yeah. And I have a hard time with permanent things.
Okay.
I can't sew that back together.
No, you cannot.
And so I was like, I still, like, Kelly supported me, my wife. She's like, you can do whatever you want. Like, I'll support you. I go, well, at this time, I just want to get it removed. And then let's get through healing from that. And then let's make the decision. So they took it out in December. I immediately felt amazing.
Okay.
Like, all that bloated pain was gone. So obviously it was from that. And I was like 325, right around there. So I went from 290 to 325. And that was, December 2018.
Okay. So it's coming up on 2 years.
Then I healed in like March. They were like, hey, do you want to come back in and talk about getting you sleeve or gastric? Cause he's like, and they really wanted gastric because they were just like, hey, we'll get you down to 185, 200, and then you're set. And I said, I'm going to think about it. Appreciate the call. And just my ego is like, oh, I can do it myself. Like, I don't need, I'm like, I know what I need to do. I just have to actually do it. So, come 2019, 2019 was a horrible year for me just emotionally and with the stuff going on, family and work. And, and so now I ballooned back up to like 385 in 2019.
Oh, wow.
So, and then I was like, oh, wow, this is not good. Like, so it was like December, January-ish, December 2019. Yeah. I'm like, this isn't good. Yeah. So,
well, and I noticed, but I didn't know if I should say anything or not. You have wanted me to? I don't know. It's like,
I would have just said, yep, you're right.
Okay.
Food tastes good. Like, no, I mean, I appreciate it. It's almost me. Like, I have to make up my mind. Like, it's
you have
not
to make the decision.
Yeah. Like, anybody can tell me, my wife can tell me, hey, you're getting a little big, or you guys. And I'd have been like, yeah, you're right. But I, like,
let's move on with the day.
Makes to point out the obvious.
I'm going
to
go over here and eat some chips.
Yeah. Like, I understand this shirt is too tight, but I'm going to wear it. So, but no, like, I had to make it for myself. And so I listened to Joe Rogan podcast a ton. And I follow a couple like Mark Bell and Chris Bell, and they've made a couple documentaries on health or on Netflix and stuff. Yeah. Bigger, Stronger, Faster. I watched that.
Okay.
So that was, it kind of got me back into like, okay, I need to do something. And they kept talking about carnivore diet. And for people who know carnivore diet, it's literally just meat and water. Like, that
it's
is it.
It's kind of what we were supposed to be
it's,
on.
Yeah,
it's really post-op, what you're supposed to be on.
Yep.
But in my mind, I'm like, I can eat steak every day and drink iced tea and lose weight. And I was 387 when I started that. Yep. And I was like, and I started that in March of this year, 2020. And I was like, I'm going to do it for 100 days. So I did it for 102 days. I went from 387 to, like I said, I'm 340 this morning. So 40.
That's
So 47 pounds.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So that like helped a lot.
Does your family do it with you?
My wife does. She mixes in vegetables though.
Okay.
And fruits. But I do straight meat. So
Kelly's shaking her head.
I know she is. So
what do you want to say, Kelly?
Jump on
in. I did not do carnivore.
Okay.
she did a keto version of carnivore.
I cut out carbs for the most part.
Okay. Yes. So you were keto. I was more carnivore. Keto. Okay.
Yeah, I was carnivore. So I would do that. Yeah, no. I loved it because I would I'd have like two eggs with some sausage for breakfast. And then for dinner, I'd have a steak. And that was it.
Yeah. Again, post-op diet.
Like, yeah, that's it.
That's what we would eat.
And to me, it was like, I kind of used my body as more like a science project, kind of like math too, was like, hey, if I put this many calories in and then I work out, then I minus this calories. And then I'm like, oh, a pound of fat's 3,500 calories. Cause I like math that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I can manipulate the math to work in my favor.
Melanie's the same way.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, that's how my brain works.
Bam, straight.
But yeah, carnivore, I loved it. I mean, okay. And then it's interesting because it goes against conventional wisdom of like, you're supposed to eat three meals a day and you're supposed to do vegetables.
Yeah.
But I tell you, all I did was eat meat for 102 days and took vitamins.
Okay.
And that was like a one a day.
So are you still doing that now?
I'm doing a hybrid of that where I did add in vegetables after the 102 days because at the 100 day mark, I was like, I want to taste a vegetable. Like, and it was kind of crazy because you go, it's like no sugar.
Yeah.
Like, and so I had like an orange, like on day 102. Mouth. Kelly brought me an orange in and I'm like, this is insanely sweet. And it's just an orange.
Did you put sugar on this?
Like, yeah, it's kind of crazy. So I've added those vegetables back in. And so,
orange is a fruit.
But I added vegetables as well. Brussels sprouts and stuff like that. I love Brussels sprouts. But yeah, so I did that and now I'm just kind of hovering around 340, and then I'm tomorrow, Monday, we're recording this on Sunday, is going back on carnivore. I took like a 3-week break.
Okay. And so how long are you gonna do it?
Another 100 days.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I found what works for me.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it manipulates like your hunger because like I won't eat my first meal until 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
So you're doing intermittent fasting with the carnivore.
Yeah. And but it wasn't like I planned to do that. It's not like the like the intermittent fasting where like you skip breakfast, because it's like the popular thing is like, well, I do intermittent fasting. I didn't have breakfast. Like I literally just, my hunger dictated it. So I was like, I would get hungry around 1 or 2. I'd have a piece of meat. And then I get hungry. I would have dinner around 6 or 7, and have a piece of meat.
But I like the fact that you are aware of that. Like, you're not forcing yourself to eat breakfast because it's breakfast time.
Yeah, no.
You were like, okay, I'm not hungry, so I'm going to eat when I'm hungry, which is, I feel
so
like...
so much better.
And a thought that you get from weight loss surgery.
Yeah, that's...
is you're like, I'm not going to eat because there's no room in my stomach.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so now, do you think that thought process just continues?
I think it rolls right into it. Yeah. It's just because a lot of people think you have to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's right. I think you, if that's what you need for your, I think everybody has their own needs, and we try to put all these people in certain boxes, but carnivore works for me. It might not work for anybody else, but it works for me. And
like, it didn't work for Kelly, your wife.
Yeah, Kelly didn't like straight carnivore, but on keto, she's lost 70 pounds.
Oh, wow.
So, so it's like, it just depends on what works for you. I've also seen a lot of guys on carnivore lose 200 pounds in a year.
Oh, wow. Like
I was talking to a guy on Instagram who knows Mark and Chris Bell. And then I started actually talking to Chris Bell, who made the movie through Instagram about carnivore. And like, he's like, yeah, keep me updated on your progress. Because this guy lost 190 pounds in a year just on carnivore.
That's amazing.
Like,
it's so crazy.
And it's interesting too, because you start looking at, I was doing ButcherBox for my meat.
Okay.
So it's a subscription-based service. I get 24 steaks a month.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
how much was it?
It was $270 a month.
That's not bad.
So I got all filet mignon.
Oh, yeah, of course you did.
Well, yeah. I mean, but they're only 6 ounces filet mignon. So I
which is perfect size.
Yeah, exactly. And so you think you need this huge steak, but literally, I would have. You can have eggs, and you can have. Because of the weight loss surgery, I stopped drinking milk, and I never acquired the taste for it again.
Oh.
So I don't drink milk at all, really. Maybe once every couple of months.
What about cheese?
I love cheese.
Okay.
Yeah, cheese is good.
Okay. You can have cheese
that,
is good.
You can have that on carnivore.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would just have, like, for breakfast or lunch or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have, because you have eggs, so I do scrambled eggs with some sausage, and then I'd have steak. Or I'd have steak for lunch and steak for dinner.
What about sauces?
You can have sauce, but I usually do sugar-free. So, like, okay, sugar-free ketchup, sugar-free barbecue sauce,
okay,
mustard, zero calorie.
Yeah.
I was really just focusing on the calorie number.
Okay.
That, like, that was made it easier for me because I wasn't focusing so much on the food. It was more like, okay, those 2 6-ounce fillets, if you put nothing on them, are only 225 calories a piece.
Right.
Nice.
So you're like, oh, wow, that's only 450 calories in a day.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, of course I need more than that. So I would then add in, okay, maybe because they're so small, I'd have 2 steaks or I'd have steak and eggs, you know, but sometimes I would be just too full.
Now, are you working out during the carnivore diet?
No, I didn't work out one time.
Wow.
I didn't work out one time.
Just changing your relationship with food is a big deal.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer in it's 80% your diet and 20% of working out.
Correct.
Yeah.
I feel like that's very true.
Because you can eat totally dirty and then work out and you're going to get net zero. There's nothing, it's not going to help you.
I've done that.
You're not going to balance the scales just by, I'm going to go hard at the gym for an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm going to go home and eat 2 McDonald's meals.
Exactly.
Right, McDonald's meals.
You're never going to outwork your diet.
Yeah.
So that kind of clicked for me too of like, okay, so I just need to get the food under control.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'm not good at multitasking. If you have me do food and working out, just like with the trainer, I can do it for about 5 months.
Yeah, and then
I'm done.
Drop off.
Yeah, yeah. And it's usually the working out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a home gym that I built in my garage,
okay,
which is nice so that I don't have to go very far. But it's I haven't used it really maybe 3 times this year because I've been trying just to make sure I have the food under control.
Okay. I feel like that was my viewpoint when I first was post-op, because I remember having the conversation with Melanie because she's like, you need to start going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know. I feel like in my brain, I need to get my food
controlled.
And then once I'm bringing in enough calories and I know that I'm stable, then I can add other stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, it took me over a year to start finding something that was active.
Yeah.
Because I needed to have my brain firmly in, like, outside of work.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. I needed my brain to be firmly in the moment.
Yeah.
Food.
And the main reason why I told you that, too, was because, like, I regret, and I know it's only, like, 2 extra weeks, but I regret the 2 weeks I could have gone earlier.
Oh, gotcha.
Because I feel like I got to 179, and I never got any lower than 179, and it's very frustrating, because all I wanted to get to was 170 or in the 160s, and I know I got there a little bit, but it wasn't enough, and I feel like if I got those extra 2 weeks, because we know how fast we lose weight in the very beginning.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, I probably could have totally been there if I would have just went earlier.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of like where I get regret and frustration from. So that's why I was like, don't do that.
Yeah, she definitely was like, don't do that. Like, as soon as you can, go to the gym. And I was just like, I can't. Like, there's something in my brain that's telling me just focus on your food.
Yep.
And I mean, I went all in with my food. Like, I didn't eat sugar. I didn't eat carbs.
Yep.
Like, I was very restrictive with my diet. Now I can add stuff in, but I don't feel like I have to binge when I have it. And
right.
I think that was my main point, is that I binged like crazy.
Yeah, I just the food is the biggest thing. Like, it's got to be, you have to have it under control. And that's for me. I can do the workouts and have the food, but I just know I'd rather just focus on the food. Because I'm like, how do I get the biggest bang for my buck?
Right.
Well, 80% of it's diet. So, that's what worked for me. But yeah, so now the goal is to get to 220 through carnivore and then adding in some weightlifting. Because I feel like I have the cadence and the rhythm of, I have done it for 100 days. I kind of know how this works.
Yeah.
But I don't think carbs are bad. Like,
no.
I'm not that kind of person. I just think for me, like, that's what I need. Like, I'm a big guy. I shouldn't even have carbs right now until I'm at the weight where I should be.
And then you can start adding things.
Yeah. Then you add in, you know, add in some rice, or you add in healthy carbs, you know. You know, but even on like 600-pound shows, they're like, you're getting 1,200 calories a day, high protein, low carb, until you get to your weight goal.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, and that's how I look at it, is like, carbs aren't bad at all. They're good for you.
No, they are. Certain ones.
Certain ones. Yeah. Not the McDonald's burgers and stuff like that.
Or, you know, binging on an entire cake, like that's not going to do you any good.
Exactly.
But, you know, having a fried potato or, you know, like a baked potato. That's what
a fried potato.
Don't do that. And then, or, you know, there's the quinoa or, you know, there's healthy grains and brown rice and things like that that you can eat.
Totally.
Even my nutritionist, because she was with Mal, like, she was like, you need to eat a couple grams of carbs in your day because, like, I don't eat anything.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, whole grain bread. And I was like, well, that's not going to happen.
No.
I was like, no, I can't go from, like, not eating carbs for a year to eating bread.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. It would feel real weird.
The first bite of potato I had was, I think it's 13 months.
Mm.
And I took one bite of it and I was like, okay, that's enough. Cody's like, no, you need to take two more bites, like, at least, because you're not getting any carbs. And I was like, I'm fine. I don't need to eat anymore.
That's
now
so
I can
funny.
Control it.
Yeah.
But back then it was like, I'm going to eat this and I'm going to gain all 120 pounds back.
Yeah.
Which is not physically possible, but, like, all overnight is what my brain was thinking. So.
Yeah, I had to learn, like, balance because, like, and I think everybody does too, is, like, you eat, say you slip up, everybody's going to make a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
So, but instead of having that ruin your whole week, it's like, it's one meal that you messed up on. So just do better at dinner than you when you screwed up at lunch.
Meal.
But it's so hard to be like, nah, I screwed up at lunch. I'm taking advantage of dinner. We're going all out.
That's what everybody does. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's taken me a long time to be like, I'm finally at a place where it's like, okay. I think I messed up on carnivore twice in 100
That's
days.
That's really good.
But I didn't freak out because I was like, okay, I'm still losing weight. It's one meal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back at eating meat only the next meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't let it derail me.
Well, and I feel like it's really easy to do the carnivore diet at a restaurant because
it's
you just say
easy.
no sides whatsoever.
Yep. Just give me a burger patty or chicken or fish or steak and just bring me that with nothing.
Yeah.
And they're like, really? I'm like, yep. Like,
all
super easy. So
So for people that have are traveling a lot or something like that, like, it's a good meal plan for them.
Yeah. I travel a lot for work. I mean, before COVID, I was flying to Seattle once a month. I drive from Vancouver, Washington down to Salem, every week.
Which is about an hour.
Yeah. It's about an hour for people. I'm looking on Nav right now, but so I'm always traveling for work. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was easy. It was like, when I stop for lunch, I'll grab some meat. Like, it'd be easy. Or, like, my work day starts at 10, around 9, and I wouldn't be hungry till 2. So sometimes I go home around 4 or 5, and I'm like, wow, I didn't have lunch because I didn't want to push it. I was like, I don't need to stop. I'm not hungry until later in the day on my work day. So then I would only eat once.
Stop and get fast food, go home, and have your steak that you ordered and that you like.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The one that he makes, the is that what you made?
Filet mignon. Yeah.
Oh, so freaking good.
I think you need to make it for me.
I will. You got to come up. Me being me, and my wife will tell you that I'm super addictive. Like, when I want to learn stuff, I have to like learn how to do it right.
Yes.
And I got to have all the tools. And so I'm like, okay, if I'm getting into steak, this has to taste good. And I want the right temperature. And I run. So I like got everything, learned how to cook it. And now, like, they made the order hard for me because they wanted 4 steaks, 4 different temperatures, but I nailed all
you
4
got
of
it.
Them.
You
yeah.
Did.
So,
yeah. You did. Yeah. You're going to have to teach Cody.
So it takes a lot of practice and you have to have the right tools.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you really do.
I just bought him a Traeger.
Oh, beautiful.
And so he's like still trying to figure it all out. But the first 2 steaks he made on it, I'm sorry, babe, but they were not good.
Oh, I've been there.
They were not good. They were too tough. They were overcooked.
Oh, yeah.
One of them was almost rubbery.
Yep.
It was really bad.
Oh, no.
It was really bad. But he made another one last week, and it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I would just say make sure you marinate him.
Yeah, which we did.
24 hours.
I don't marinate at all.
You don't? So,
no.
We do.
No.
I do the Alton Brown method. And it's super juicy.
Oh, it tastes good. Yeah. I just don't marinate.
Yeah. Well, what he does, because he's a food scientist. And so he says just to put salt on both sides and then you marinate. If you just sit in like that for 24 hours. So,
yeah.
And then when you throw it on the grill.
Then you throw it on the grill.
It depends on what you're using to cook it. Like, I like reverse sear. So I have a Traeger as well.
Okay.
And so what that means is you put it in the Traeger first with your thermometer inside the steak and you get it to the temperature you want. So if you want medium, you want medium rare, you want whatever. I usually get it to about 120 degrees in the center.
Okay.
Take it off the grill.
Okay.
Take it to my stove where I have a cast iron pan waiting. that's heated on high. And then I sear it. Mm-hmm. And then I take it off, and then you let it rest under tinfoil for about 10 minutes. You got to be disciplined, but for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Because all think about...
I feel like you're yelling at me.
I want Cody listening right now. I'm going to help him out. But when you let it rest, all the juices of the blood of the meat, like instead of like you cutting into it and spilling everywhere, it rushes back into the muscle.
Yep.
And makes it a lot more tender. And so let it sit there for 10. It's hard because you smell it and it smells amazing and you want to eat it.
You want to eat it.
You want to eat it. And you're worried it's going to drop temperature. But when you put the tinfoil over it, I leave the thermometer in. It doesn't drop temperature.
It holds it all.
To be honest, it raises temperature. It still cooks. And so that's why I pull it out at 120, 119. Because it'll cook to about 135, which is medium.
But then you're also adding that screaming heat for the sear.
Yep.
And so that's going to add some heat.
Yeah. And you only sear it 2 minutes each side. It took a while because you want that crust. That's one way I do it, or I do it the other way, which is I sear for 2 minutes each side.
Okay.
Pull it out,
and then
I put the thermometer in, and then I put it back on the cast iron, throw it in the oven at 400 degrees, and then once the alarm goes off at 120, I pull it out, let it rest, and it gets to about 130, 135.
So, question about the tinfoil: are we wrapping the whole thing in tinfoil, or just to put it on a plate?
Just over the top of the cutting board or wherever your steak is.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to wrap it, but you just want to put it on top.
Just to hold it a little bit.
Yeah, because you don't want to go, because it's going to still cook and you don't want it to cook too far. So if you wrap it, it'll cook really far. You'll go up to 145, 150, which is that medium well.
Okay. So those of you that's wondering, we decided to just change this to a steak podcast. You guys are all okay with that.
Yeah,
right?
I'm fine.
Okay,
I'm
fine.
I do have some questions.
Yes,
so
ask anything. I'm an open book.
Back to surgery time. Yes. Not really surgery time. I would just say, what would be... what was the best feeling that you had? What was something that you learned?
Non-scale victory?
Yeah. What was a good non-scale victory for you? Or just even in general with the family or with Kelly, what was something that you wanted to do but couldn't do and now can do?
That's a good question. I think there's a lot of them. There's being able to ride those roller coasters now that I couldn't ride with the kids. There's not worrying about weight limits on certain things. I mean, I know I'm still 340, so there is some things that you have to look out for, but there from being a 450 to 340, there's a big difference. And so, and then just clothes that I had that I kept clothes that I couldn't wear that I liked and because in hopes that I would be small enough to wear them again. Yeah. And then being able to put those on and wear them again was this is pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah. Hashtag COVID.
So I know that you're my brother and I probably shouldn't ask this question.
You can ask everyone.
How was sex life? Did that change for you guys? Did it get better or worse?
Did
it even change anything?
Probably more positions, probably, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you have to ask Kelly too.
We are.
That's fine.
Yeah. We'll definitely
cover that.
Melanie likes to cover sex. I don't know why, but
I think it's important because no one likes to really people want to hear about it, but they don't want to ask the question.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a great sex life before.
Right.
Because again, I don't look at myself and think I'm a big guy. I can't have sex. I'm I'm a man. I want to have sex.
Right.
So we would already have sex once or twice a day when I was 450.
Damn.
So, and that hasn't changed since I got smaller. So.
Jeez.
Yeah.
No wonder you have 5 kids.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Now I know why you call her a train. So,
I have 2 tickets a day to cash in. So.
2 tickets a day. Yeah. I love it.
That's amazing. I love it. Yeah.
I'm glad that that's intact.
But so intact. No, it's good. It's good.
That word. Yeah. You can't use that word.
No. But no, I mean... It's, I think, more, just more angles, I guess.
More angles.
Probably the best way to say it.
Well, I think because when Zach told us, he was my stuff, certain things make noises now that he didn't realize.
Oh, yeah. When his, he was brushing his teeth and his arm was moving and he thought the girls were clapping for him, his daughters, his arm.
No,
yeah, so just stuff
I've
like
had
that.
That.
That's
no.
Just goofy, random, random things that you did not expect to happen.
No. I mean, you lose fat. In weird places. My left arm is smaller than my right arm.
Huh,
no idea. It's like the worst. If you everybody has the worst part of their body that they hate.
Mm-hmm.
I have 2. One is my right arm. Just the right arm. My left arm, it looks amazing and well-defined. But my right arm looks like I have like a butt crack in the middle. Like it looks like my bicep is like split.
I know what you're talking about.
And I don't know why. Like, and so I kind of like looked it up on Google and they're like, you just overtrain your right arm so then it'll fill in.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I hate that. That was weird. I didn't have that before. So as I lost weight, it looks like I have two biceps on one arm.
Butt on my right arm.
Yeah. And then you just get flabby skin. So like the back of my right leg, I just have flabby skin. So, and look at the
like
good thing.
Like calf area, thigh
No,
area?
Like my thigh, like right below my butt cheek, like I have flabby skin. And so like, I hate that area.
Yeah.
The best thing is that in mirrors, you don't look at the back of your thigh. So I don't have to see it.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. That's good. But no, like nothing too weird, but I just, those are the main two. Okay. So. And then you lose fat like in your pelvis area.
Okay.
So like, you know, if you're a girl, your vagina probably looks smaller. And then if you're a guy, your penis probably looks bigger.
Okay.
Because it's opposite.
Well,
because
we talked about that. Like it does shrink down there.
It does shrink.
Yeah. It does.
Your vagina does shrink.
You're supposed to gain a half an inch of penis for every 50 pounds you lose.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. But you always have it. It's just there's less fat around it to see.
That's hilarious.
Like, it's always that length. It's not like it gets larger. It's just
it's like we'll take the fat from your belly and just move it down.
Yeah. We just made a bunch of guys excited for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, lose 50 pounds, you gain half an inch. That's the Miracle-Gro.
There you go.
Yeah. It's all it is fat around your dick.
It's a natural penis bump.
It is 100%.
That's hilarious.
So okay. Yeah. So it's pretty funny.
So feet. We all lost feet.
My feet shrunk. I was a size 14. Now I'm a size 13/12, depending on the shoe. Yeah.
So, I feel like that's pretty normal about a size and a half. Is
my ring size. Yeah. I can't wear my wedding ring that I got married. It's way too big. Like I was a size 20 ring.
Wow.
And now I'm like a size 12 ring.
Oh,
so I just switched to a silicone ring so I can swap them out. So,
cool.
Instead of that ring. But yeah, so my hands got smaller. Feet got smaller.
Which is a fun, like,
it's great.
An exciting thing to be like, I just lost 2 sizes in my ring.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like it's, yeah. So those were good, good experience. And shoe size.
Good.
Because as you go smaller in shoe, they're easier to buy. I like shoes.
Oh, yeah.
So
you do love shoes.
Yes.
Okay. He's got a little bit of an obsession.
Do you have any more questions for Matt?
I want to know, do you think in the future you will ever get weight loss surgery again?
I think it's still on the table.
Okay.
Like,
so you're still thinking.
I'm not saying no.
Okay.
But I'm also 37, so I'm getting close to 40.
Yeah.
And so I would like this wrapped up by the time I'm 40. Like, cause I don't want to do this for the rest of my life.
No.
Like, you know, like it's still,
I mean, you will to a point.
Yeah, to a point, but I don't want to be trying to lose weight until I die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like looking back on the stupid time hop app makes you feel great. Cause some days you're like, oh, look, I was really fat.
Yeah.
And then you see like a scale picture you took and it says smaller than you are today.
Yeah,
and then you feel
like,
horrible about
life.
Yeah. So I guess I want to get to a point where I'm done and I just maintain.
Okay.
And so if that's surgery, we'll do that. And because I can't get it to do it on myself, then I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I just kind of in the middle right now.
So you have a time, like a point, like if you hit 40, you're not there, we're going to go ahead
it's
and get
gotta
surgery.
It's got to be like 39.
Because 31 and done by 40.
Yeah, like I want to be 210 by time I'm 40.
Okay.
So either get there through carnivore or whatever method or get there through surgery.
Okay.
So if you are still dealing with trying to lose weight and everything, do you think you would ever go back to therapy to kind of talk about? Do you feel like it's something that you could work out in therapy or?
I don't know. I've been to therapy as like a group. Like my wife and I went to therapy and we talked about it in therapy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just didn't discover anything that helped me, to be honest. Like she's like, well, you were ever, you know, they asked the routine questions. Hey, were you molested as a child? No, nobody touched me.
Yeah.
I honestly think the reason why I'm fat, it's not genetics. I think it's just poor education when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And when you're come up in a poverty household, you're only limited to what you can buy. And so usually you can buy high sugary, easy to cook things.
Microwave meals.
Because it's cheap. And so when you grow up poor and that's what you eat, you learn to eat that constantly. Now, my kids aren't growing up that way.
Yes.
You know, and none of my kids are overweight. You know, and it's, but we also, we give them healthy snacks and we cook a lot for them
and we teach them
what's healthy and what's not healthy because that wasn't taught to us. Nothing against my parents. They didn't know either.
They're
just like, hey, I get a paycheck. I got to buy the easiest thing to get these kids fed.
Well, and I think mom and dad's biggest goal was just like, We have to feed them, clothe them, make sure they have a roof over their head. They got to go to school. Like yeah, it was,
that was it.
They didn't think about food with us. They didn't think what they were giving us was hurting us.
No.
They didn't go over portion size. No. How many times did I eat at your guys' house?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, we would eat huge portions.
Yeah.
And it'd be like this little tiny cup of vegetables and then the shake and bake pork chops and potatoes.
She'd give me half a tray of lasagna. She'd give me half the tray.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Because, but you don't know what you don't know.
You don't.
And so that's where I chalk it up to. I don't think it was some trauma or anything like that. I think it was just poor education. Mm-hmm. And then I have addictive personality. So then I got addicted to the wrong things. Now, if I was introduced like organic vegetables and the right food, I would have got addicted to that. And that's what I would have grown up eating.
Okay.
So,
or something else.
Well, yeah.
That's like, the thing. Because we got addicted to food. Like, that's our...
True.
That's really our demon.
Yeah, I could food. Be. Yeah, and you can't. You can quit alcohol and you can quit weed and heroin and all that, but you can't quit eating.
You have to eat.
Yeah.
Well, you have to mentally deal with it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you have to deal with it. In some point in time, you're going to have to say, I'm addicted to food.
Yeah.
What can I do to change that
pretty
behavior?
Much? And it's decision by this. It's meal after meal. Like that's the thing for me. I hate how long it takes. Mm. I can gain 10 pounds in a week if I want. Mm-hmm. But if I want to lose 10 pounds, it's 4 weeks, too. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Weeks.
It's so annoying.
But I think that's a good way of looking at it. Like, okay, it's fine if I have this, but it's going to take me 3 weeks to work it off.
Yeah.
So kind of to think about that in that way, I think people would be more aware of what they're bringing in their body.
Yeah. I think it's planning ahead, too. Like, even coming down here today, I was like, hey, I'm probably not going to eat till probably will get home tonight around 5 or 6, which in my mind, I know, okay, I'm just going to stop and get food for the whole family and eat something bad. So I was like, no. So I grabbed, some cheese, I grabbed some meat and I grabbed some peanuts and was like, just ate that on the way down. But to be cognizant of it and not give in to like, oh, I'll just pick up fast food. It's one meal.
Exactly.
It's just more of that planning. Now, meal planning, it works for some people. Just for me, eating out of Tupperware for that long, I just kind of burned me out on it.
Yeah. But it's easier for you to like say, have those snacks ready so that you can grab those and like just go and be prepared that way versus every single meal.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. And the big thing is like not, this helps people, but not getting to the point where you're starving. Because if I get to that point, I'm going to eat whatever's inside. Just whatever's going to put in my mouth. Yep. Yeah. So if I know myself well enough to not get to that point.
And we talked about that in our July check-in because I'm that same way. I will go all day without eating at work, but by the time I get home, I'm like, I will eat anything that is in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I only keep healthy stuff in my house.
Right.
So I can't go very far in my binging, but it's very easy to be like, if there was, because I've done it before where with the one bars, those fucking one bars are so good. I would eat one and then I'm like, oh, I'm still hungry. I'll have another one. And it was because I didn't eat all day.
Yeah.
So I had to physically take those out of my house.
Smart.
So that I did not binge on them. But that behavior was still present.
Yeah.
And I think that scared me a little bit because I was like, whoa, I haven't done that in over a year. I thought I was healed, basically.
Yeah.
My brain healed.
Right? Yeah.
But you're not.
You're not.
You're going to battle it for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's just making the right choices in the moment and not letting you get in too far.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I've learned.
And people make mistakes. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to have a hiccup.
Yeah.
You're going to fuck up once in a while. Mm-hmm. But as long as you learn from it and you don't say, oh, well, I fucked up, so might as well just fuck up the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Because some people, probably not that far, but like you were saying, I ate bad for lunch. Oh, I might as well just go all in for dinner.
Right.
And then, oh, well, we're going to eat out for breakfast, so I might as well just let it go.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, Monday.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Everybody has a Monday. Right. I mean, you heard me say it earlier. I'm starting tomorrow on Monday.
Yeah.
You know how many times I've probably said that? I mean, probably over 100 times.
If we had money for every time we've said that,
you would be rich.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, and just to go back to the carnivore for a second, I know we're about done, but like, I know people are thinking, well, the meat's really expensive.
It is.
It can be. I guess it just depends on how you look at it. So, like, if you're only buying meat for you to eat, $270 a month. Like, I don't work for Butcher Box, but I think that's a great deal.
That's a great deal.
Like, I know it's 24 steaks, so there's more than 24 days in a month. Mm-hmm. I get that. Mm-hmm. But they do have, like, I was getting free 2 pounds of ground beef for free with it. So then that came with it.
Okay.
You know, and then meat, like, buying some chicken or something at the grocery store is, $20? So maybe you're all in $350 a month.
Which, when you break it down per meal, That's not that bad.
No.
No, because I just spent $170 yesterday at the store, and probably $70 or $80 that was just me. Yeah. So if you think about it, if I go to the store once a week, I'm spending more than what it would be for the butcher box. Yeah. So might
and
as
then
well.
That's just one way of doing it. Like, I like that way, but honestly, you can go get ground beef and chicken at Walmart, and it's going to be, what, $40-$50 a week for you to eat that. So I think the value and the cost is a cop-out. Like, people just
I think people just don't want to do it.
They don't want to do it. Yeah.
Well, and the good thing for weight loss surgery, people are, we eat 3 or 4 ounces.
Yeah, it's not very
so
much.
So really, most of the steaks that you get in the store or whatever, you can cut in half.
Yep, exactly.
And you've got two meals.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I do think it's kind of a cop out.
Yeah.
But I also think people, it scares people.
Yeah, it does. And that's something different. I learned to use smaller plates.
Yes.
Just because when you use it, it's something about it. But in your brain, when you're a fat person, you're like, there's only one thing on my plate. There should be a lot more on this plate. But if you use a smaller plate, it doesn't look like there's something missing from your plate. Yeah. And so, I don't know, for me, that helped too, is just using smaller plates.
I think it's FOMO.
So,
yeah. It's the fear of missing out on whatever other food there is.
That should be on this plate.
Yeah. I'm like, totally. I have a sandwich. I'm like, I should fill this plate with chips and fill this plate with this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, actually, if you're going to have that sandwich, that you sandwich is probably going to be a sandwich just fine.
Yeah.
But then also, and then also understanding a sandwich is just fine. Like,
you don't have to have sides.
No.
I mean, sides are my favorite.
Right. Yeah.
But like, we barbecued last night and I'm like putting like a little thing of potato salad and some coleslaw and everything. And I'm like, sides are my favorite. I love them. And so I'm like, I don't even need the meat. Right? I just want a plate of sides. Yeah. That's all I like.
But we're trained to like, we have to have that meat first. Meat is supposed to be first, no matter what.
Which I did.
Yeah.
I did
Good job.
I just do everything with math. Like, I'm like, when I have a sandwich, I'm like, okay, a slice of bread is 80 calories a piece, so I'm at 160. And then if I want a ham, I put ham on there. It's like 2 ounces is like 70 calories. So I have a weigh scale. I'm like, 2 ounces. And then I put that on. So I'm like, I'm up to like 230 calories. I put a pickle on. That's zero.
Yeah.
And then I'll put some mayonnaise on, which is about 60-80 calories for 2 tablespoons. So that sandwich is maybe 350 calories. If you make a sandwich like that, but you have to measure everything.
Well, you don't most of the time with sandwiches.
No, you don't measure anything. Throw it on.
Let's add some cheese. Right. And let's add some ham and some turkey and then blah, 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 blah. And
So if you measure it out, you're fine. You know, that's what I had to learn too, is just kind of calories and measuring and understanding. Yeah. You just got to have that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
I think the best thing we can tell people is just know if you're going to go through this process, like you're going to have to be organized and prepare all things. You have to look forward to like tomorrow. You can't like wait for tomorrow to get here. You have to be like, hey, this is what I'm going to have tomorrow for morning, like evening, whatever.
Yeah.
Get your snacks ready to go. If you're going to go on a long drive, you better go get all the good snacks so that you're not.
Weekly shopping is a must.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't, you have to prep. It's all about
prep. You got to plan ahead. And I think that's the easiest thing to push off is like, you know, I could have done it today and just waited till I bought something bad, you know, but you just bring stuff with you kind of thing and make it work. So
you don't regret the lap band at all?
No, I don't regret it. It was a cool experience. You know, I now look forward to kind of seeing what the future holds with my weight loss journey. Cause it is a journey. It's not just, you know, one and done. So, but you know, I haven't put off gastric or sleeve off the table, so it's still there. So,
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. I've been dying to have you on because I'm like, we don't have anybody that has lap band. Like, we have to cover all areas.
Yes.
For sure.
So it was a pleasure.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure.
I love that she's talking to you like you're a real interviewee.
I know.
That's right.
It was a pleasure.
A professional hair.
It was pleasure.
That's right.
I hope everybody enjoyed it. So
thank you.
I'm just expecting you to be like, get the fuck out.
Right.
All right, get the fuck out. It's super hot in here.
It's 100 degrees.
It is getting really warm in here.
Yes,
I feel like we need to air it out.
Yep.
Because I know if I'm sweating, y'all are sweating.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Hey, listeners. If you enjoyed your time with us, please rate, review, and subscribe on any platform you get your podcast.
Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Join us on patreon.com/OSLP where you can get exclusive content.
We would like to give a big thank you to Anne-Marie Cruz for our logo,
Eric Vaughn for our music,
Nick Dukes for our graphic and web designs,
and of course, the most amazing producer in the world, Marcus,
with Jude and Per Productions. Thanks for listening to Our Sleep Life,
a podcast for patients by patients.